Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. Welcome to our service of worship this morning as we celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord. Our homilist today is Archdeacon Liz Labazou. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you, and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you, and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Epiphany of the Lord. Eternal God, who by a star led wise men to the worship of your Son, guide by your light the nations of the world, that the whole world may know your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Isaiah 60, 1 through 6, the glory of Zion. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah. And all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed between elections is Psalm 72. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people. Give deliverance to the needy and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more. May the kings of Tarshish and of the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations give him service, for he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence, he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. O God, bring our nation and all nations to a sense of justice and equity, that poverty, oppression, and violence may vanish, and all may know peace and plenty. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
A reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning with the first verse. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant, according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, the wisdom of God, in its rich variety, might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born, King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened and let Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is shepherd to my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time that the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. Today's sermon is based on the Gospel of Matthew. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Today is the first Sunday of the new year, the Sunday that we call Epiphany. It is the day that we celebrate God's revelation of his only Son to the world, especially the Gentile world. It's a world that is hungry for something new. Even today, more than 2,000 years after the events we read about in Matthew's Gospel, the world is still looking, still seeking for the one that can satisfy its great hunger. But will we know it when we see it? Today's Gospel, we hear the story of the wise men. It is one which we have heard many times over in our lifetime, the story of these three wise men that followed a star that would lead them to the child that was born to be the Messiah. They didn't precisely know where they were going to end up, but were determined to find him. I think so many times we as Christians seem to have this Disneyland version of the birth of Christ. We have us singing our Christmas song, and we have our idea of what the Christmas story is. The story that has been ingrained to us year after year, that it truly just becomes a story that we have in our heads. And many times we forget about what really happened, the implications of the birth of Jesus. So one thing that I want to focus on this morning are the three wise men, or the Magi, as they were also called, who traveled from the Far East. We're not getting very much information about these Magi. Most of what we have come to believe about them is based on tradition, not the Bible. Many times when we think of the wise men, we have that picture in our head of the man riding on camels with exotic clothing made of silk and very bright colors. And they do resemble the wise men from the nativity sets that we put out at Christmas time. They were wise men and possibly more Indian from their ethnicity. It's likely that they were Gentiles from Persia. Maybe they were also astrologers who followed the star, or even magicians who interpreted the stars and people's dreams and dabbled in magic arts, or perhaps king's aides. They also knew of the Old Testament prophecies that predicted the coming of the Christ. They made their trip from their homeland to Bethlehem, and it probably took a considerable amount of time for them to get to Jesus. So these men did not come the day Jesus was born, or even after the day, but they were determined to seek out Jesus diligently. First, it is so incredible that these wise men came all the way to Bethlehem just to seek out the baby Jesus by the way of light, a light that shone over their heads, Bethlehem, as it was called, and guiding them to the Messiah. So let's focus on three things that these wise men did. First, they would seek Jesus diligently. In our scripture passage, verse 8, it states, "And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.'" And this is one question we have to ask ourselves every Christmas. Do we truly seek Jesus diligently? Is seeking after Jesus something that we can make as a normal routine in our lives? Do we read his words deeply? Do we pray? Or do we come to church? Do we serve or meditate on his word? And do we seek to grow in our relationship with him? I know that at Christmas time, we all tend to get very busy. And we make sure that we have all the decorations up, the trees, the gifts bought, the wrap and wrapped, and make sure all the Christmas meals have been prepared. Our lives do get very busy and even crazy at that time. But yet, isn't it funny how we have time in our lives to focus on the present? The place, the Christmas light, the decorating, the tree, and not the real meaning of Christmas. Why is that? Well, the enemy, I think, would rather have us focus on secondary things of Christmas and not seek after Jesus. You see, because for most of us, especially when we were younger, our main focus was on receiving presents, the tree, the shows, and the meals. But Christmas Day, Christmas season, is about seeking Jesus. Now, when these men started on their journey, they had no surety exactly where they would find the baby Jesus, other than when they saw the star that would be guiding them. The Bible also doesn't state whether these men were Jews or Gentiles. They were three men who heard of the prophecy from Isaiah, and they went to diligently seek Jesus. But these men loved Jesus so much that they diligently sought him by leaving behind all they had to go and find him. So at Christmas, let us make sure that we diligently go out and seek him. Let's not just come to church and listen to the Sunday service and be happy with the message and then go on our separate way. Let's seek Him and not just go off to the fun stuff. Become a follower of Christ. Yet, it may take courage, and I can promise you that following Jesus will not make everyone in our lives happy. If we truly choose to read the Gospels carefully, study Jesus closely, and to model our lives as closely after Him as possible, then courage will be required. At times, following Jesus will always also mean upsetting some of our friends, a possibility of disturbing some of our family, and honestly, it will mean going against the wishes of other believers. Like the wise men, being follower will at times feel more like being on the road less traveled than it will feel like simply going with the crowd. And yet, being a follower is exactly what Jesus calls us to be and to do. Number two, give gifts to Jesus. One of the unfortunate casualties of the commercialization of Christmas is that we tend to focus way too much on getting gifts for each other than we do giving to Jesus. And you say, how can I give to Jesus? Well, you really can't give gifts to Jesus. He's not here on the planet, so you can't walk up to Him and say, here, Jesus, here's a gift for you. But the point isn't to give Him gifts directly. The point is for our heart to give to Him, our life. Jesus has given us His life. So one of the things that we can do and remind ourselves of Christmas is that Jesus has given us our life. So now, when we are in Christ, we give our life back to Him by serving Him. Remember, we desire to give to God because we love Him. Giving is a natural byproduct of love. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, and that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Also, know that it isn't about the money, because God doesn't need your money. It's about your heart in giving to God. So let us give gifts to Him. Give our life to Him as a living sacrifice. Number three, they also worshiped Him. The wise men traveled from afar, not knowing where they would actually find Jesus. The story tells us that they found Him lying in a stable, surrounded by animals, straw, no bed for a manger. But the gospel tells us they found Him in a house where the star had stopped. They entered the house and saw Jesus with His mother. They knelt before Him and they paid Him homage. They didn't care where He was, but the fact was that they searched for Him until they found Him. They understood what Jesus was, and so they worshipped Him and brought Him expensive gifts. So Matthew is telling the story of the Magi for a purpose. He is using these three men as examples for how to respond to Jesus. We are to worship Him. So the question this morning is, do you worship Jesus? Are you presently worshiping Jesus with your life? Every Christmas year should be how worthy is Christ to us. He should be infinitely worthy. The question is not, do you believe that this has happened? No, the big question is, do you worship, serve, and love the Jesus of this story? Why? Because He is God, and He is worthy of our worship. And He demands worship, and we are happier when we do. And here, Mary doesn't stop the Magi. There's no indication that these men should not have worshipped Jesus. In fact, Matthew is pointing out the purpose that these wise men from a faraway land traveled perhaps hundreds of miles to worship a baby born of a peasant woman in a stable. And Matthew wants us to worship Jesus as well. This is the point of the story. Christians are not simply those who believe in Jesus. No, Christians are those who know, love, trust, and worship Jesus. Christianity and Christmas is about worship. And we do not worship blindly. We worship Jesus because of who He is. He is the creator of the world. He holds all things together by the word of His power. He is the light of the world. He is our advocate, who goes before the Father and prays for us. He is the substitute who takes our sins away from us. He is the only righteous, perfect human being who has never sinned or broken a commandment of God. and he gives us his perfection and his righteousness. He is the sustainer of our salvation, who causes us to endure in our faith. He is the husband of the bride, the church, and he will cleanse and purify us and present us holy and blameless at the end of the age. He is the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, and he is the sheep who is led to the slaughter in our place. And through him, we have attained eternal life and eternal joy in the presence of God the Father. So let's worship Jesus in spirit and in truth at Christmas. Let us seek after him, give him gifts. Let us love him in everything we have. If you are here this morning and you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ before, put your faith in him this morning. Don't wait. Make the decision. There's nothing more important in your life than you putting faith in Jesus Christ. Not just believing he existed, not just believing he was a person and died for you, but putting your faith and trust in him. Faith and trust, knowing he is for you and not against you. So, dear friends, I leave you with this question. Will you make it your top priority in 2019 to become Jesus' followers and worship him? Thank you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For peace from on high and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the welfare of the Holy Church of God, for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our bishops and for all the clergy and people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the leaders of every nation and for all in authority, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For each and every city and community, for those who live in them in faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For good weather and for abundant harvests, for all to share, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who travel by land, water, or air, for the sick and suffering, especially for Carol, Flip, Nancy, Dee, Ann, Bernadette, Pat, Davis, David, and Phyllis. For prisoners and captives, and for their safety, health, and salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our deliverance from all affliction, strife, and need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died, especially for Lorne, Rob, Joe, Daisy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Remembering all the saints, we commit ourselves, one another, and our whole life to Christ our God.
To you, O Lord.
Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications to you, and you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together, you will hear their requests. Fulfill now our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, eternal life. For you, Father, are good and loving, and we glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space, around the world at this very moment. Countless prayers are being lifted, songs of praise are being offered, bread and wine is being blessed to nurture Creator's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and every moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forever. Amen.
Go forth in the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.